You've come to the beginning of another episode of the Kaleidoscope Podcast about everything Youth Initiative High School. Youth Initiative High School is a fiercely independent, multi-generational learning community offering an education that speaks to the whole human being. It was founded in 1996 and operates in Viroqua, Wisconsin, amongst the ridges and coulees of the Driftless region. I'm Logan, and I'll be your host for this episode of the Kaleidoscope, and as always, your producer.
And I'm Matt, host on vacation and cameo guest.
In this episode of the Kaleidoscope, we'll explore the ins, outs, ups and downs, and all arounds of the YAHS Student Living Cooperative. All right, welcome to podcast number 4. I'm the guest host of this episode. And let's go around, starting with Matt, the original host. But why are you here, Matt? And then we'll go around the circle from there, explaining who you are and why you're here to talk about the Student Living Cooperative.
Now, Logan, I'm here primarily because I love this podcast and all the people in this room. But I also happen to live at the Student Living Cooperative and have for the last 6 years, mm-hmm. since 2019. And that's why I'm here. I'm also the school administrator.
Right.
And a father.
Two.
Well, lots of people, but one of them is sitting to my left here.
I'm Moses, and I live at the Student Living Cooperative. And I'm here just to talk about the Living Student Cooperative.
Thank you, Moses.
I'm Bean, and I also live there. And I am the boarding coordinator at Youth Initiative High School.
I'm Leah, and I've lived at the Student Living Cooperative for the last 5 years. I graduated last year, and I'm here helping out this year, and yeah.
And I'm Hugo. I'm in my first year living at the Student Living Cooperative, and I'm in 10th grade.
Well, this is exciting. I feel like we have a great cast assembled here to give us a perspective and great information about the Youth Initiative Boarding House. Could we start with how it started? Maybe Matt and Bean could start it off.
Sure.
Thanks.
Well, we've had a boarding program at Youth Initiative for a very long time. Probably at least officially for 14 years.
The line between official and non-official is blurry.
Yeah.
And was maybe took a few years to develop.
Yeah. But as that program grew, we had a host family situation, which was really very beautiful chapter in the school. But one of the challenging parts for a lot of the international students was that it felt like it took a long time to connect with other students. And so this experiment was developed in response to that, trying to create a living situation where students could interact with each other and get to know each other and have a space that felt more quickly familiar as they were becoming a part of the greater school community.
Mm. Sort of like a social beachhead.
Mm. I'm not familiar with that term. Could you explain?
It's a military analogy.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta concentrate your forces at the landing zone, and then spread out from there.
D-Day.
That is one famous beachhead, yes.
Okay. So could you... I'm a little uncertain about the... So 15 years ago-ish, the host families started?
Yes.
Okay. And so when did this beachhead begin?
6 years ago.
Okay.
The COVID year, actually.
Pre-COVID, but yeah.
Pre-COVID, but during the COVID school year. Yeah.
Who do you feel like was advocating the most? The students themselves wanted something more communal or together? You said it was a beautiful thing, the host families.
It was
families.
A beautiful thing. Yeah, it was. It was also just a lot of,
like many beautiful things, it was very complicated.
Yeah, sure.
It was a lot. It was a lot to work with.
Who were the hosts? Often, just families.
There were so many wonderful host families.
Okay.
Yeah, there were a lot of different types of host families. There were a lot of families with students in the school. There were also families that either didn't have any children, their children were grown, or their children were little. So there was a really wide variety in town, outside of town.
And so, you and Matt being married and starting your own family at this time.
We were also
boarding, host families.
Yeah, host families.
And you hosted. Okay.
How many students did we host? Three?
No.
Nora?
Uh-huh. A lot.
I'm going to hurt. I always do this.
Okay, that's okay. Something. We don't have to. But
Nora,
but you
Jean-Claude,
were...
Maddie.
All right, he wants to do it.
Grace.
Grace, right. Grace.
Okay.
Well, and then you can count.
Come on for a little bit.
And William.
Oh, Nick and William. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all just flooding back now.
Salman.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you start a boarding house? How does it go from host family to boarding house?
Well, first you have to find a house, which there's a lot of houses around, but it is pretty challenging to find a house that has the right setup or a workable setup.
Meaning enough rooms, basically,
and
bathrooms,
and then just the arrangement of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that took a while.
Yeah, what was that process like? Realtor?
I don't think we used a realtor. Well, I mean, eventually used a realtor, but it was... I mean, it took a long time, but it also was sort of serendipitous. I mean, that there just happened to be this house that was...
Yeah,
pretty perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That has 8 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms. You know, 2 different levels of living space. And again, luckily, this was before COVID and before the real estate prices in Viroqua literally doubled in about 6 mm-hmm. or 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it was financially feasible. I don't think we could. I don't know if we could do it today. Given the real estate market, but it really came together pretty quickly once the house was found, I think.
I'd love to take maybe a moment to hear from some of the other guests here, sort of their thoughts about the house itself, the actual container for the physical container of the boarding house. I guess, Moses, you've mostly grown up in the house. Maybe not mostly, but for a good portion of your life now, you call it home. What do you like about home?
It's fun how there's like a lot of people, and I think that's nice.
Yeah. I guess I'm curious too about like the location or the size of the house or like what's your... Do you share a room?
Yeah.
You get your own?
No.
Okay. How many people do you get to share a bathroom with?
I mean, there's 5.
Nice. So you keep it clean. You got to pick up after yourself.
Sort of. Yeah.
Leah, you've been there for 5 years.
Yes, I have.
Do you have favorite things about the house? Just to give an image to people?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about the house in general, the house itself is a lovely house, but I think really what makes it so nice is just all of the things in the house, like the plants in the living room and all the books and the trinkets and the piano and just all of the accoutrement, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the living room is very vibrant and wonderful.
It is.
Yeah.
The living room with its tall, tall ceiling and...
chandelier.
Chandelier.
That we never use.
And what do you call that when there's that walkway with the railing?
Up no
there.
Idea.
Is there a term for that?
I'm sure.
Architecturally?
I'm sure, but.
Not a mezzanine. Or is it?
No.
I'm grasping.
I'm grasping. It's a big house.
It is.
I'm
it's struck
not
by
it.
It's not mezzanine.
It's not mezzanine class.
Hugo, you've been there now for a couple of years. Do you have a favorite part of the house? Maybe something we haven't mentioned.
I don't know. Well, I also really like the main living room. I mean, something that stood out to me like instantly was just the plants and like how much life that brings to that room.
Mm.
But I think, I mean, I spend a lot of time in the basement because that's where my room is. But like there's like a space with a couch and like a sort of. I don't really know what it's called.
Like a futon.
A futon, yeah. Mm. And I just, yeah, I like sometimes just hanging out there and people will, like, I'll find anyone down there and just have a conversation with anyone and it's just a nice social space.
Yeah. So there's sort of, the basement has a shared space, a social hangout zone.
Yeah.
And obviously the main floor. I've never been upstairs, really. It's kind of... a similar vibe? Is there, or is people come down if they want to hang out together?
Yeah, I think it's a quieter vibe.
It's like a little workspace upstairs, and that's a pretty quiet workspace, and then some bedrooms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's mostly bedrooms.
There's not really like one social space upstairs.
Not really.
Right? Yeah.
But you could just stand on the mezzanine and overlook the people.
And call down to people.
Hello.
From your lofty perch.
Well, thank you all. I think that I just, for the listeners out there who haven't had the pleasure of spending a lot of time or ever being in the house itself, wanted to give a little picture there. Imagine a large, bright living room with lots of plants.
And colors.
And colors. And books. And a cat perched.
The outside
somewhere.
Space is really nice as well.
Yeah.
And countless objects from Bean's past.
Is it worth, in this, do we want to talk a little bit about the land surrounding and some of the work being done with that, or is that too adjacent to topic here?
No, I think that the original lot was a quarter acre, and then we were fortunate enough to purchase about 7.5 acres of vacant lot, essentially. I mean, the lot that is not conventionally easily developed. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a watershed that runs through part of it, mm-hmm. and there's just not a lot of street access, but it's sort of a rather large island in the middle of town.
Totally.
We have not done a ton with it. I think one of the best things we've done with part of it is just stopped mowing it, mm-hmm. and so there's a nice little kind of nascent grassland there in the back, but also there's soccer goals and there's a basketball court in the backyard and just a lot of space. We've been planting, I think we've planted 275 trees in the last 2 years,
mm-hmm.
A good portion of which have been eaten by deer, but
so it goes.
Know, it's a battle of attrition.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, right now it's mostly a blank canvas for dreaming. But
and now a bridge.
Yeah, we built a bridge across the watershed last fall.
It's a wonderful bridge.
A very well made bridge. Beautiful bridge.
It's true.
All right, what should we bridge to next? So the present, the situation there. How many students are currently in the student living cooperative?
8.
What's your cap?
Oh, sorry, 9. 10.
10. There's 10.
Oh, 10.
There's 10?
There's 9.
There's 9
boarding students.
We've lost counting.
Oh, is that counting?
There's 9 boarding students and Millie.
Oh. So 10...
Oh, high, no. Maybe that's okay.
It depends on how... Yeah, you're the one.
We don't have to get too lost.
It's an elaborate Venn diagram.
I lied.
I think there's eight...
Four boys.
Four boys and four girls. There's eight students.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Leah.
Yeah. Yes.
There's nine high school students and Leah right now.
Right.
So there's some
with a
that...
cap
yeah,
of 10.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. How it can be hard to determine who's a...
Currently.
14 people currently... Yeah, live there.
Yeah.
Nice, I like that. 14 mm-hmm. people and a cat.
Yes. And three goldfish.
Three goldfish. Some chickens are outside.
One beta fish.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's not forget G-House beta fish. Does it have a name?
Yeah.
What is it?
Pablo,
its name?
I think.
Pablo.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that we settled on that, but it was going to be Pablo for a while.
And 11 bantam hens in the backyard.
Yeah.
And we won't talk about the other... critters that live with the chickens.
Any other critters are not welcome.
They're not welcome. Well, that's exciting. Does that feel like a pretty full house?
Sometimes. I mean, it doesn't feel like an empty house. Yeah, it feels like a pretty active house.
I do think, though, that it is often quieter than most people. People are just doing a lot of things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hugo's going to soccer. You know, people are going to a committee meeting or going to work. What are you doing, Moses?
I'm doing track and soccer.
He just got back from track. So, yeah, it functions often like a clearinghouse. And I think people spend a lot of their waking time out of their places doing things.
Or doing work, like school projects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When does it feel the most like you're all together and kind of all present? Do you have to make
dinner.
That happen?
Or a lot of times at dinner. And
yeah.
Then we have
weekday dinners.
Meeting, house meeting once a week.
Can you talk about the house meeting? What does that serve?
It is a way for all of us to... students and Bean mostly to come together and just talk about the schedule for the week and any problems we may have or I don't know, just noticings. We often do an appreciation at the end. It's just a general open forum.
Nice. An airing of grievances, perhaps.
Perhaps.
That's
important.
But I think. Yeah.
It's not easy to live with other people.
Not
just
always.
In general. I mean, I think that's a fair statement that we should all embrace.
It definitely takes a lot of work.
Yeah. Communication. What would you say leads to success in the boarding house? As maybe as a student, Leah or Hugo.
Two very successful boarding students.
Yeah, absolutely. Hence why the question
just to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things. You can't put just, you know, one thing up at the top of what makes a boarding house run. But, I mean, clear communication is definitely way up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, talking to people if you have minor grievances or, you know, following all of our norms or just like labeling your food in the fridge, that kind of thing. Oftentimes it's really little stuff that you maybe wouldn't think about that makes the house like run smoothly.
Yeah.
And being open to new creative solutions to things.
Yeah. And being flexible generally.
Yeah.
How about food? I'm curious how you feed that many people. How do you feed that many people? How does that work? I know I've actually joined Matt on a few shopping trips to Woodman's. It's exciting. But then someone's got to make the food, cook it. How does it work?
Well, I mean, I think we do a large grocery shopping either on Saturday or Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Probably usually about 8 to 12, you know, paper grocery bags full of groceries. Students also, so those groceries are just kind of like your basic raw materials
mm-hmm.
for construction of healthy but not fancy meals. Although we can get pretty fancy with what we got. And then students also have their own little areas to store, I guess you'd call it comfort food.
Mm.
Foods that, you know, maybe like a box of Cookie Crisp or what do you got, Hugo? What's in yours? Yeah, well, take us through a tour of your little corner of the pantry.
I've always had to have a little pot of Marmite, which I don't know.
let the listeners know, what is Marmite?
Don't know what. Yeah, if everyone knows what that is, but it's like a really salty. I don't know how to describe it. Like a condiment kind. Well, something.
Like a paste.
I think it's like
is it a spread?
Made from yeast. It's a spread.
Okay,
and it's a very English thing.
High in B vitamins.
Yeah. And it's, yeah, as you said, a comfort food for me. I've grown up with that. And like my mom sent me over with this little pot and I had it in my cubby for most of the year. Then I ran out, but luckily Bean ordered some for the boarding house. So now.
So much.
So now everyone can.
We're rich in Marmite right now.
Marmite until the apocalypse.
Yeah.
A lot of Marmite.
That's exciting.
Leah, what do you got in your special cubby?
It has evolved over time, but as of the last couple of years, it's almost entirely tea.
Mm.
The makings of tea. I've got honey and various herbal teas and caffeinated teas and, you know, all the tea things. And my chia seeds.
Mm.
That's pretty much it.
So who makes the dinners on the weekdays? Is there like a sign up? Do students ever make that, or is that handled by Matt and Bean?
No, he does most of the cooking during the week, and students cook every Wednesday.
They cook themselves meals?
No, when we are on a rotation.
Oh, nice.
They do once.
It's Wednesday today.
It is Wednesday today. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure Jiho's at home right now.
Jiho's day. And the Wednesday meals are not necessarily elaborate meals. They're just sort of like functional meals. And then once a month, people have sort of a fancier, more formal, like family meal where you might go shopping for specific ingredients or Wednesdays are just kind of like weekday dinner.
Mm-hmm. An opportunity for the student to sort of fulfill a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
What other kind of responsibilities do students living in the boarding house, you know, need to fulfill?
Well, along those lines, we also have monthly baking. Mm-hmm. The student baking once a week for everybody.
What type of baking? Anything they want?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
fun.
Not everyone's natural aptitude.
For sure not.
But
and some people bake many more, you know, more than once a year. For sure.
Brownies. Brownies is a...
Chocolate chip cookies
a
also.
A top go-to.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know.
Yeah.
Like, can't ruin brownies.
No. Do Rice Krispie treats count as baking?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just about, like, making some kind of treat for everybody.
Could I make bread?
Sure.
But people want sweet.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
It's just... Sort of like a non-dinner treat.
Because if I made bread, then Hugo could put Marmite on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I've been putting Marmite on some bread made by Matt recently.
Mm.
Yeah.
Really, really nice.
Mm. Nothing like homemade bread and Marmite.
We've dug that up from the past.
Bread making?
Yeah, kind of on a bread making kick right now.
Yeah.
Might stick with it.
It's been nice.
Moses, you are a part of the... Of the boarding house, but in an interesting way. You're not a high school student quite yet.
How old are you, Moses?
12.
You're 12. Yep, you're 12.
Your older sister has made the jump. Is there anything you're looking forward to or seeing changing as you become?
I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to going to YHS.
Yeah. You don't see necessarily your roles in the boarding house shifting much.
Not really.
I mean, he's already looped into the cooking and baking and
I'm curious. Is Moses a part of the meetings?
No,
those are really just mostly for students, for boarding students, because a lot of that meeting is. I mean, we do activities outside of those meetings that are all together. Anybody in the house, like last week, we all went bowling together, so there's still opportunities to connect in that way. But the meetings are more about like how to, you know, like navigate shared spaces that are primarily for students.
Mm-hmm.
You know, shared bathrooms and shared, you know, their roommates and their cleaning partners together specifically. So there's like a lot of that, like specific to that type of living situation. And then there's other things we do, like I said, that include everybody in the house.
Yeah.
Have you made a family meal yet, Moses? I don't remember.
I don't think this year.
Not his family meal's coming up, but you've done a Wednesday cooking.
Yeah.
When's the next group activity? You just said you went bowling?
Yeah, on Sunday we went bowling.
It's bowling season.
In April.
Yeah, we have a potluck coming up in April, and then we're gonna go canoeing in May.
Are we going roller skating?
And there's talks of roller skating.
I thought we were doing roller skating in there. No?
Yeah.
We could. That's the one we're still trying to work it out when it's going to fit with everybody. But
go to
Richland
Center.
Both.
Yeah, sure, Richland
Definitely.
Center. But right now we have potluck and canoe trip on the calendar.
Nice. And in the past there's been tubing. Of course, that didn't happen this year because there was actually no snow. So that was kind of...
But every fall we do a canoeing trip right at the beginning of the year.
Nice.
Hasn't there been ice skating as well?
Oh, yeah, we went ice
definitely.
Skating.
Yeah.
And carved pumpkins.
Yeah. That one's always fun.
Just the seasonal joys of American life.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So there are international students like Hugo. There are domestic students who just might live a few states away, right?
Yeah.
Would you say you've noticed a big difference between the sort of that adjustment for those for international versus domestic boarding house students?
Definitely. I mean, I think international students have a lot more to navigate when they first get here, but I think in making the decision to come so far, there's also a greater or a more like conscious, intentional openness to like really being willing to learn things, and they're kind of in it. Whereas domestic students also open, also making that same leap, but a lot of it is so familiar that they don't necessarily realize that there needs to be sort of like an intentional awareness to some of the more of just like living cooperatively. So I mean, we talk about it and it's always people get there, but that's that each of those different paths comes with things that come with, I think, greater ease and different challenges.
Leah, did you find any particular challenges?
When I first got here, it was certainly the longest I'd ever been away from my parents, which is true for most people coming to a boarding school.
Yeah.
It was hard at first, but I don't live too far away, so it was pretty easy for me to go home for, you know, most breaks and stuff. And definitely, as time has gone on, I've found myself more and more wanting to stay in Viroqua and, you know, not make so far of a trip so often and really settled in, but...
And you must have liked your time as a high schooler.
Yes.
because you chose to come for another year.
Yes. It's probably the best decision I ever made in my entire life.
Good to hear.
Yeah. I mean, she's only 19, so.
I'm 18.
18.
So. She hasn't made that many decisions.
Yes.
Oh, she's going to make even better decisions.
Absolutely.
In the future.
Perhaps.
You're on
this is a good one.
Good start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great start.
And Hugo is from across the pond.
Yes.
Yep.
As you might have been able to tell.
So, I mean, can you speak to that, Hugo? I mean, were there, like, being said, was it jarring enough or something to sort of make you reset? Or did you feel like your family raised you in this way that the boarding house was just a natural
next step? In some ways, definitely. I was raised in a family. My parents work a lot with teenagers who come to my own house, so the social aspect was very easy for me. I've always had a lot of people around, and but obviously there were some culture shocks coming here, mostly small things, just
no marmite.
Yeah,
that was a tough blow.
Yeah. just little things that I mean, it was a little hard at first. I felt like sometimes when I'd discover something that was very different, even if it was a small thing, it didn't feel like home, and it was like a bit hard and everything. But yeah, over time, I mean, the boarding house just is a place that really, really instantly feels welcoming. And like, even if there's some things that I don't understand, there's always someone to talk about it with. I mean, there's so many people going through the same thing as me. Like, so it was, it's been interesting, but it's.
Great answer.
And I think Hugo is sort of somewhere in the spectrum, you know, as someone who has grown up in a Western culture. I mean, we do also have students who are kind of even further outside of their comfort zone, who are, you know, whose language isn't English. I mean, Hugo speaks French as well. He's from France. But, you know, we have two students this year from Korea and one student from Afghanistan. And we've had students from China, Ethiopia,
Brazil.
You know, so there's just students coming from all different, and they all have different experiences and different challenges and different expectations and assumptions. And when you're in it, it feels like it's just happening. But I guess when you step back, it does feel kind of miraculous that the place hasn't burned down. Although it did almost burn down once. But that was nobody's fault.
We'll save that for the story time episode.
Yeah, good.
If I were a student interested in really liked Youth Initiative but didn't live nearby, I should probably apply to the boarding house, right? How does a family with a kid do that?
Well, there's a...
What's the process?
There's an application online.
Surely.
But you could, even if you had just questions or wanted to chat, you could always call the school or email, and we could also just chat about it. It'd be nice. But there's applications online you fill out. There's one for parents to fill out, and there's a separate one for students to fill out. And after that, we have an interview, and then we meet and just talk about what it's like to live at the house, and you know, if everything goes well and everybody thinks it's a good idea, then you just move on in eventually.
Yeah. When is move on? Move in, rather.
Well, the
for the year
starts with the all school camping trip, so and that's always the last week in April. That's the last week in August, and so the week before that is like the new student orientation and move in.
It's a hectic week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People moving in. people being oriented, people being bombarded with information.
People.
And novelty.
Preparing for camping
yeah,
trip.
Yeah, while packing for a week-long camping trip.
Mm-hmm. And then the school year happens. It's wonderful. Sometimes people need to leave for a reason, or sometimes a student comes in during the year. Mm-hmm. We just had that happen.
Yeah.
What's that like? Yeah. How's that going?
Just a couple weeks ago.
I guess it probably depends. I'm sure it's not the first time, right, that a student has joined.
No, but it doesn't happen that frequently.
Okay.
I mean, in this case, it just took quite a long time to get the... There was just the visa all worked out.
Yeah, right.
But...
It wasn't ideal. But.
No, but it does happen, and similar process. I mean, the difference is, of course, that not everybody is new at the same time. Mm-hmm. There's less new people at once.
Yeah.
So...
I can imagine it can be potentially more overwhelming for the student moving in the middle of the year than if it was at the beginning.
Yeah, I would say harder for the student and easier for the house managers. In some ways, you know, there's already whatever direction we're going, everyone's going generally the same direction, and that person just sort of
hops in.
But I'm sure that's much easier said than done for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although at the beginning of the year, there's always overlap of people who are returning, and if someone comes in the middle of the year, then everybody is there to help and ask questions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. It kind of depends on the student, perhaps, if they like that, jumping into something established or being as part of the chaos.
Yeah, I kind of had that. Well, I came for a month last year, but I arrived so at around this time of year a year ago, so it was in the middle of the school year, and I can't speak for everyone, but I think personally I found it easier. I don't know, because I didn't experience arriving at the beginning of a year, but it was really easy for me to like feel comfortable, because everyone was like so welcoming, but also they were like doing stuff and like inviting me to stuff and just like already going like in a flow, and I just was like, yeah. For me personally, I felt like that was easier than it could have been.
Mm-hmm. Well, great. Are there any closing things that you boarding housers, members of the Student Living Cooperative, would care to share with the listeners, these listeners who just want to understand?
I think it's a pretty nice place to live.
I agree. Yep. Yeah.
So maybe they should come to a potluck and check it out.
Yeah.
Is that welcome to the community, open to the community, those potlucks?
Yeah, hopefully it will be nice and warm. This one.
Yeah.
Outside.
I don't know. It's still in April, but
yeah.
Maybe.
It did just snow yesterday, so.
Still got a couple weeks.
But it's now 61 degrees, so you never know.
And tomorrow it's going to be cold again.
The vagaries of spring.